The GOP at one time embraced the Tea Party. This was just the populist wave of anger that they needed to show Obama that he's unpopular and that he's unwelcome. But now the Tea Partiers are actually winning primaries and doing good. Looks like the GOP might be turning its back. But I guess that's what happens when someone that the people see as an everyday man that can take help their country back is a pot-smoking deadbeat dad, Messiah, in North Carolina. So should the Tea Partiers have seen this coming? Here to discuss it with me is Kristen Soltis, the Director of Policy Research at the Winston Group, and Catherine Mangward, a Senior Editor at Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining me, ladies. Now, first of all, do you agree with me on this one? Do you think that the GOP is turning their back on the Tea Party?
I don't think so at all. I don't think that, I mean, the Tea Party and the Republican Party are very fundamentally different things. The Tea Party is an organization of activist Americans who are all sort of rallying behind frustration at what the government is doing, whereas the Republican Party is a political organization that has existed for decades, you know, and its job is to elect folks. So I think that because they're very fundamentally different, I don't think the GOP is necessarily turning its back on the Tea Party. They're just very different.
But the GOP was loving the Tea Party at first, and people were out and they were protesting health care. That was their shining moment for the GOP, when they could say, look at all these people, they're coming out, this is populist anger at its best, and this is showing Washington that we don't want this legislation passed. So now that they have no use for the Tea Partiers anymore, I feel like they're just ditching them.
Although there is, I think, it's worth noting that the Tea Party wasn't always in love with the GOP, that while there maybe was a moment when the GOP thought, okay, these Tea Party guys could be useful idiots for us, the Tea Party people themselves were always quite nervous about the GOP and being seen as part of the GOP. Now,
But that took a while, because to begin with, these people mostly were Republicans, and mostly white males over the age of 45 who were all Republicans.
I think you're actually, what you're sort of describing there is the way that the news story evolved. The story started out, these
guys
are Republicans.
Well, what the polls say of the people that
claim to be
Tea Partiers.
Well, but the polls haven't changed on the people. What the polls say is that there are, you know, majority Republicans, certainly, but that there's always been a huge chunk of them that didn't identify as Republicans, and that those people maybe have a little more of the upper hand now. But I think it's more a question of the media getting to know what the Tea Party people are like.
And Catherine's absolutely right. I mean, the polls have shown that not only is the Tea Party not entirely Republican or not entirely conservative, but they're also not completely in love with the Republican Party. They're very frustrated at congressional Democrats. But when you ask, are you favorable or unfavorable toward Republicans, they say favorable, but it's somewhat favorable. It's not strongly favorable.
Of course. Well, that's what they're saying now, because we're in a recession. People don't have jobs, so they're obviously angry. And that's when, you know, anger towards the government is at its highest moments. This is when people are pointing at Washington and they're saying something is fundamentally wrong. But the thing is, I think Washington, especially if we look at the Republican Party, the establishment party, they're very happy to embrace these people until they start seeing them winning and until they start realizing that their beliefs don't exactly align with each other. And so all of a sudden you have even the GOP leaders in North Carolina looking at this D'Annunzio guy, that's the stoner, the deadbeat dad that claims he's the Messiah,
yeah,
and they're saying they don't want to be associated with him. But that's what happens,
though.
But the Tea Party is a fringe movement.
Well, the Tea Party is a movement that is outside of a particular party. So within any sort of movement, you're going to see folks who have relatively mainstream beliefs and are able to articulate those beliefs and get support, and then you're going to have some folks who are way outside the mainstream. And because the Tea Party is not an official wing of the Republican Party, there's really no way to control that. So you have I think the vast majority of Tea Partiers are not like the gentleman that you described earlier.
But he's ahead in the polls. They're voting for him.
I'm sure that whatever he said in that race has, you know, energized some folks, but I'm sure that now that this has all come out, you have to have a compelling vision for why you're going to create positive change. It sounds like this candidate's not necessarily the guy to do that.
The Tea Party is Ralph Nader, right? They're potential spoilers in a series of primaries and elections. This guy is a perfect example. He's a nut, which I think many might argue, including me, Ralph Nader is as well, who jumped into an election and suddenly was showing up, and that makes the GOP nervous. But the Tea Party was always Ralph Nader. The Tea Party was always somebody who was on the edge of the established party, but decidedly not within it.
But I want to bring us into a bit of a more like theoretical discussion here. If we say that we have professionals versus purists, and this doesn't only affect the Tea Party, we can say that they're a bit of a fringe movement that's more right-leaning or perhaps with more libertarian values. I mean, you can also apply this to anybody that's farther to the left. This is a constant, we always have this example of the professionals, the establishment in Washington, using these fringe movements, and they kind of suck them dry until they don't need them anymore.
I don't necessarily think that's it either.
I don't think there's room for these people.
I think a lot of, you know, ideological movements, like the Tea Party is an ideological movement. It's folks who all have said, we don't like the way that government's functioning. We think it's taking too much money out of my pocket and spending it on too many things that I don't agree with. Whereas a political party or, you know, somebody who's trying to get elected, something that's more mainstream, you've got to put together a majority coalition. You've got to prove you're ready to govern. And that's often very different than staking out a claim or making an argument in an ideological way. So it's two fundamentally different things.
And you can't be a major political party that's anti-government, because your whole hope, your whole
reason
for existing is to be in government. But that said, I think that, again, with the Tea Party people, what we're seeing is not a threat to the Republican Party. And honestly, if the Republican Party sucked them dry, took a couple of their ideas or some of their rhetoric and left them lying on the curb, that should be a victory for Tea Partiers.
But do you think if these people are a little unrealistic? For example, we have Rand Paul that just won the primary in Kentucky. And, so, you know, same thing. This is an outsider. This is someone who's anti-government that now might be part of the government come November. So what do they really expect? They expect a guy that doesn't want any part of the government to come in, and they think that he's just going to enact sweeping change, that he's going to change the established order?
This is why ideologues are always disappointed when their own get elected, because he's not going to change. He's not going to enact change. He's going to change.
Yeah, right now you're watching Rand Paul go from someone who generated a lot of energy because he sort of had this ideological base, and now he's got to run in a general. He's got to figure out how can he tailor his message to make sure he can assemble the majority coalition to win his election.
But so does this prove that there really isn't room for a libertarian view for a third party in America?
God,
sure,
I hope not.
Sure, you might get one or two people in office, but they're not going to change anything.
No, it proves that we have a two-party system, and that's not going to change. But we can hope that what happens with one or both of those parties is that they'll take ideas from the fringe players and use them usefully.
Or when the fringe players get to Washington, they're going to get bullied so much that they have to give up all of their beliefs. But you know, one thing that I have to admit is kind of funny here is that we hear the people saying that they don't feel like Washington represents them. So then we have people, and I just can't stop using the example of the D'Annunzio because it's just too funny to me. So they have a stoner that doesn't pay his child support, that also is a religious nut, and they want to send him to Washington because, you know, maybe they feel like they have more in common with him.
Well, a deadbeat dad who once smoked some pot who's a religious nut would not be the only deadbeat dad who once smoked some pot who's a religious nut on the Hill if he were elected, to be fair.
I think you're right in that sense. I think there probably are quite a few of them already sitting up on the Hill. All right. Thank you so much.